Well, Father, as you look around the sanctuary, you see the faithful ones who have come out, who want to be fed fresh manna from heaven. And I'm asking you, Father God, to come and meet them at their point of need. Let them understand how much you love them, Father. And Father God, I just thank you for your Son, Jesus, who is sitting at your right hand, ever interceding for each and every one of us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your angelic host. And Father God, we especially thank you that you do love us. And you look down upon us. You cry with us. You laugh with us. And you call us your own. You call us friend. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I just entitled this Jesus. Before I start, don't forget Monday, we're going to have the fasting and prayer for President Trump, because Tuesday he has to turn himself in or something, right? And Monday we're going to be fasting and praying that he'll find favor in God's eyes. God's not going to let him sink. This is what he told me anyhow. He says, I'm going to keep him afloat. And we have to understand that President Trump, you know, he was there for us 100%. He's there for America 100%. And the reason why he's being fought is because he belongs to God. And if he didn't belong to God, they wouldn't be fighting him. They'd let him act like a fool and, you know, and do whatever. But because he belongs to God, he's being fought. And so as you watch, I mean, I really don't watch what's going on every now and then. I just hear something. But you have to understand that if you're being fought, it's because you are God's. These poor people are freezing. Can you turn that down? Thank you. They think they're an Eskimo, and so do I. I'll just use you as an excuse to have it turned down. Amen. Then, you know, I just really, really been thinking about this for the last 6 months, that people don't understand the reason why you're being fought is because you do belong to God. You know, and if you're not being fought, then you don't belong to God. And so instead of fussing about being fought, people fighting against you, talking about you, not liking you, you know, you should be really rejoicing in that fact, because that's living proof that you're God's chosen. You know, I never get excited when people don't like me. I really don't care if you like me or not. My Father in heaven loves me. Because if you don't like me, that means there's something in you that's not right with God. And it's fighting with the Spirit of God that's in me. Now, isn't that prideful? But no, that is really the truth. And as you read the Word, you'll see that happen to God's chosen people all the time. You know, the disciples were fought against, you know, and they were doing only what was right. People didn't understand. They didn't understand Jesus. You know, just think about it. You know, here's Jesus, you know, and he walks into a bar. Hi, guys, how are you today? Give me a glass of wine. And he sits there and he talks to them just like they're everyday people. Well, they are everyday people. And, you know, we can't do that. We can't really... You know, like I said to somebody the other day, I said, well, I made a mistake. I thought I was a sheep when it was really the shepherd. In other words, I just talked to somebody like we were unequal. You know, we were equals. And they didn't like that. They come against me about that. So I said, I guess I'll have to go back to the shepherd and let the sheep in the sheepfold. You know, you just can't let people destroy your walk with God. You can't. And I just warn you, that's why you're being fought. You can say all you want, and yet whoever's fighting you can say all you want to say, but it's because there's something in you that's fighting against the Spirit of God. And remember what God said, Satan has all his pawns lined up, and they're after the queen, you know, and the queen, I guess, is an important person, right, on chess, all right? And so in your life, if you're being fought, Satan has placed certain people in your life, they're the pawns, and they are there to destroy you. And this is how Satan's going to do this, through people. And they're all set there, and these pawns are really working at destroying God's children. Now remember that too, all right? I was looking at somebody's going to have a teaching. Jennifer, I think, is her name, right? And she used a chessboard. And she was knocking the pawns off there. I said, well, thank God somebody else has heard this too besides me, you know. And she's going to do a teaching on, I forgot what it was. Is it deliverance or something? But anyhow, what I'm saying is, guys, if you're a forerunner person, you're going to be doing things that other people haven't heard about, and you're going to be fought. And I'm going to tell you this until the day the rapture occurs, because this is how Satan destroys God's people, because they don't understand what's going on in their lives. And they don't understand that God has you, and you don't understand that God has you in a different place, because we're in a new season. And so we're unsure where we're really going. And then Satan's using that unsurety to come against us and try to destroy us. All right. Each one of you need to understand that. All right, well, let's talk about Jesus. In Philippians 4, 4 through 7, it says, rejoice in who? The Lord, always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. How are we supposed to do that? Prayer and supplication, thanksgiving. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If you look around about you, the body of Christ is so anxious and unsettled. The world is anxious and unsettled. And our Father told me to ask you who you think Jesus really is. Just keep that in your little mind there. Jesus is a true light. In the Bible, Jesus is called the true light, the true bread, the true vine, and the true witness, and the true God. That's who Jesus is. John 1:9-10, that was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. The him is Jesus, right? Who did not know him? The world. But the sad part is the church doesn't either. They really don't know who Jesus is. They don't know what Jesus is all about. I think a lot about how he taught. He went out in the boat and just started telling them what they were all about. You know, or he walked out. If you think about it, he walked all the time. And, you know, they had their little sandals on going from town to town. And he just taught the people along the way. He didn't ask them how much money they made a year or, you know, how big their house was. And, Holly, do you think maybe you could quit that baby? I'm sorry if I'm boring you. Thank you, Mother. But, you know, people don't really stop to think Jesus was human. He was the Son of God. But yet he was human like you and I. He hurt like you and I do. And when people were rejecting him, that bothered him. You know, and he went to the mountain all the time to talk to his Father. And I'm quite sure he laid all these things at the Father's feet. And, you know, and then he came back down refreshed and he went on teaching. And people didn't like him. They did not receive him. The church definitely did not like him. The church definitely did not receive him. All right? So why are you any different? Why are you any different? Think about that. Why do you want people to really do, you know, think you're the greatest thing going? Nobody thought Jesus was the greatest thing going. And every time I see pictures, it's always women and children at his feet. It wasn't too many men there. It isn't that what goes on today? It's the women in the house of God, not too many men. I don't know whatever happened to the men, because God created them first, then created us. But the men seem to reject God all the time, and God is trying to get men back into the house of God. All right, John 8:12 says, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. But you have to follow Jesus so you don't walk in darkness. What does darkness represent? It represents sin. In Ephesians 5:11b, it says unfruitful works of darkness. It represents Satan. In Ephesians 6:12b, rulers of the darkness. It represents self. Ephesians 5:8, for you were formerly darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. The problem with the body of Christ is we don't know what light means. Because we just think it's just a lighter form of darkness, and it's not. You change from being dark to light, total light. All right? And I'm hearing God say, if you represent me, you're going to have to be total light. There can be no darkness in you. All right, John 4:12 says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me. So what's the first thing you have to do? You have to believe that Jesus is real. The works that I do, he will do also. That's why you can't. Have you thought about why miracles aren't happening? You know, you have to believe Jesus is. You have to believe miracles do happen. And then you have to be walking in holiness. And then God will work through you. So Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. This is where we're at right now, guys. God wants us to do the same thing that Jesus did. And then he goes on to say, and greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. See that? Did you ever understand that when Jesus came to, when Jesus sent the disciples out, they were told only to minister to the Jews and not the heathens. And then it came to the point where Jews were rejecting Jesus. So then God said we could now minister to the heathen. All right. So we weren't even included in the first package sort of deal type thing. It was just the Jews. What is Jesus? He's a Jew. What color is he? Olive skinned. Amen. You know, these are things that people don't realize. How many of you, when you were younger, say, no, Jesus is white. No, Jesus is black. And then I found out he was a Jew, so he was olive skinned, so he was neither. You know, and nobody ever told me that in church. And I was too dumb to look it up myself, you know. So, see, if you know the truth, you know the whole picture, then it's not hard to follow Jesus. All right, Luke 11:35 says, therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. Jesus is the true bread / spiritual nourishment. In John 6:32, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. See, Moses didn't have nothing to do with giving you Jesus. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. We look at Moses, he was a wonderful guy, he really was, but we need to go beyond him and look at Jesus. Jesus was the man of the hour. Jesus was who God sent to save you and I. I think the body of Christ is like somebody I was talking to the other day, and they said, you know, they were supposed to be doing good, and then they said, well, you know, I'm still me. In other words, I still have these feelings. I still want to do these things. I want to be wild, and I want to be ruly, and I want to go rob people and go do drugs. I'm still there. Well, you know, this is what happens in the body of Christ. You're still there when none of that stuff should be in you if you're truly following with Jesus. Amen. But when they said that, I thought, you know, that's what happens in the body of Christ too, isn't it? Because we say, well, you know, I'm still there. You know, I still want these desires. But if you really and truly give your heart to Jesus, you're not going to want the dark side at all. You just aren't. And you have to give your heart. I'm not saying you're not saved, but you have to work at giving everything to God. You know, he says, I want that 1% you're holding on to. And that 1% you want to hold on to it so tight you don't know what to do with yourself. And eventually you say, okay, God, just take it all because it's not doing me any good and it's caused me more trouble than it is good. So one day you just give it up. I watch that in people. And you know, God sees all. We heard those songs. Didn't we hear those songs? I like that first one, God take the wheel. You know, I was told by my daughter, you know, when she took me out to dinner the other night, she said, you don't ever listen to country western music. I said, yeah, I do. I said, we're going to sing one of the songs this Sunday. What happened was a song came on, and it was really a tear-jerking song about somebody losing her father, you know. And I think that's what it was, wasn't it? And so, you know, and she said, just listen to it. I said, yeah, I'm sitting here listening to it. I really do listen to this type of stuff, you know. I mean, I don't listen to country western music, but if I hear a song like that, I listen to what they're saying. You know, come on. Let's quit this kind of junk. Just quit this kind of junk. The country and western singers found out you make more money if you do Christian songs. So that's why they're making Christian songs, because they make more money. So, and I don't care what they do. You know, I'm not, I have too much to do to argue about dumb junk like that. Right? Jesus is a true vine / spiritual infilling. John 15:1, I am the true vine, Jesus said, and my Father is the vine dresser. In that same chapter, Jesus said in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I am in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Do you know it took me years to understand what God was saying? I'm being serious. It took me years to understand what God was telling me there. Then one day the bell went off, the light went off. I was, oh, that's what you're telling me. I'm a branch, and I have to be in you. And I know you all catch it right off the bat, but I'm a little slow. It takes me a little bit longer. You'll catch on to it too. When if you have a yard and you cut off a branch, you know, then it's going to die if it's not attached to the tree you cut it off from, right? And we do that our own selves when we sin. And we're all guilty of sinning. I don't care who you are. You know, whenever we sin, we cut ourselves off from the vine. And then whenever we realize what we did, we repent, go back, then we're back into the vine again. Then we can start producing fruit, good fruit again. Okay, Jesus is a true witness, Revelation 3:14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. You know, he sent in, there were six churches. He sent in, each church had their own angel, and God would tell the angels what to go and tell the church. The pastor of the church, not a scribe. I had to throw that at Barbara. She didn't catch it at first. She said, that's true. I'd let you go for a long time. I pick on you right now. Okay. So it came right from God himself, and he told the angel to tell the pastor of the church exactly what was going on in the church. That's what God wants to do for each one of us individually. He wants to come to each one of us individually and tell us what we're doing right or what we're doing wrong. Are you listening? Jesus is also called the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead in Revelation 1:5b. Jesus is called the true God in 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ, period. This is a true God and eternal life. Jesus says here, he is the true God. He's just not a figment of your imagination. And I'm just hearing him say, he will lead, guide, and direct your every footstep if you'll receive him as Lord. You know, you have to receive him as Lord, and then he'll start telling you what to do. And There's people in the house of God have received him as Lord, but still don't want him to tell them what to do. I mean, that's just a fact, you know. And that's nothing to get in a twit about. It happens all the time. Amen. I'm raising kids that don't want me to tell them what to do. They want to tell me what to do. And that's the way we do with God. We want to tell God how he should run our life. We don't want, you know, we don't want him to lead God and direct us. I'll tell you what you do when you walk down that road, you learn a lot of hard knocks. Because you get yourself in a place that you wish you'd never gotten into. And when we don't listen to God. John 17:22. And the glory which you gave me, the Jesus speaking, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them. He's talking to God. Why? That they may be one just as we are one. You know, he wants you and I to be one with Jesus, just like Jesus is one with his Father, God. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Jesus is saying, I want everybody to understand, Father, that you, how much you love them. You love me first. And you sent me down there because of your love for them. And you know, and this is what, you know, this is what God's trying to get across to the body of Christ. I love you. Even when you're in sin, I still love you. Doesn't it tell us he walks the corridors of hell? When you go to hell, he walks the corridors of hell, and he weeps over you because you didn't have to be there. Amen. 1 John 5:1. Whoever believes that Jesus is a Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God, see this, this is how people know we're children of God. When we love God and keep his commandments. All right. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is a victory that has overcome the world, which is our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. You know, he was born like you and I were, water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. Jesus is saying, we will be one as they are one. Do you ever think about how neat it'd be when we're finally one with the Father? How many, you know, if you're like me, there's sometimes you think, am I ever going to make this thing? Am I ever going to be one and stay one? You know, is it always going to be, you know, up the hill, down the hill, up the hill, down the hill? No, there's going to come to time. There's going to come a time really soon when God gets his glory dropped that we're going to stay one with him. And we will no longer be on the roller coaster ride. Amen. Yeah, too many people beat yourself up whenever you fall. There isn't one of us in this room that don't fall. All right, so I'll just tell myself, you know, like I'm raising two boys, and I'll say, honey, would you please do this? And, honey, please do this. Honey, do this! And Gabriel said, can we just have one day where you don't scream? You know, God doesn't want me screaming at my kids. But after 10 times of, honey, will you do? you don't stay like Jesus. But we should. I'm praying for wisdom and patience every second. Not every day, but every second. And Gabriel's learning the guitar. So he's out there, he has the amplifier and fire, and I'm out there in the study trying to, you know, hear God's voice. He's in there, blunk, 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 blunk. Then it's blunk, 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 then blunk, blunk, blunk. I said, turn it down. I can't turn it down. It's as low as it go. But, you know, and I'm saying, God, please forgive me. I should be able to concentrate here and let him learn his guitar. You know, it's just like somebody learned the flute or piano or something in the house. You have to sit there like, ding, 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 ding. And we should have patience with that. We really should, parents. I'm just telling on myself now. See, so right there, I wasn't one with God, with Jesus, because I just lost my cool. Are you understanding that? All right, the body of Christ is always complaining. It is never satisfied. Thank you, Chris. What did Jesus tell us in his word in John 15, 18? If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. We just talked about that, didn't we? If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. That's the way it goes, guys. And if you don't want to be hated, then you won't be able to receive Jesus in his fullness, because nobody's going to love you after you receive Jesus in his fullness. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. See that? If they don't want to listen to what you have to say about Jesus, they're not listening to Jesus either. Isn't that what that's saying? Verse 21, but all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had come and spoken to them, they would have no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. I'm sorry. It's as if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Oh, see what you did. You came into the house of God and you heard the word, and now you don't have any excuse for why you sin, because you already know you're not supposed to. And the way you do, then you sit and you mumble and grumble to yourself, and then you start on the pastor, and then you start on friends, and next thing you know, you're a mess. And really, dude, just don't do all that junk. Just say, God, I'm really sorry. I heard, I know I'm not supposed to do it, but my flesh is weak. Isn't that what the word says? Our flesh is weak. And, you know, but God is able to forgive you and let you move on. Amen. All right, 23 says, he who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. People don't like to be their sins being pointed out to them. I found that out. Shocked me. I just knew that anybody in the body of Christ would want to hear they were in sin and get it together. It doesn't work like that. Verse 25, Jesus said, but this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. You have to remember that. When people hate you, they don't have a reason to hate you. It's the Antichrist in them fighting at the Spirit of God in you. Now, even though Jesus told the body all of the above, they still complain. They still follow their own desires. And Romans 1:28 says, furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind. See that? So that they do what ought not to be done, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. And although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. If you ever see somebody approve of somebody, well, here's what happens to me when I talk to somebody that's in sin, but I don't know they're in sin, but I'm talking about somebody else having this sin, they get really quiet. And I found out over the years that that's because they're in that sin and they don't want to have no part of that conversation. That happened to me yesterday. I said, oh, I forgot they're in that sin too. But I wasn't talking about them. I was just discussing something that, you know, that's going on in the world. Well, I was really talking about masturbation, how they want to treat it, you know, teach it in the schools. But, you know, they got convicted, and I didn't, you know. So, you know, sometimes you're just going to fall into, put your foot in your mouth and not know what you're doing, right? So you just have to keep on moving. All right, let's take a look at what Jesus did on this earth. First of all, these are the miracles that he did. This is what we're supposed to be just like Jesus, all right? He turned water into wine, cast out demons, passed unseen through a crowd. If you had a winery, that'd be neat, wouldn't it? You could turn water into wine. Well, you know, I read where, you know, a little red wine's good for your stomach. So that's what they did in the Bible, right? I'm not giving you permission to drink. I'm just saying in the Bible, it says take a little wine for your stomach, red wine. All right. He passed unseen through a crowd. Isn't that neat? And that's happened to humans. You know, they did, you know, in the concentration camps, they would do things and the guards would never see them. All right, cured a man with an unclean spirit, healed Peter's mother-in-law, filled Peter's net full of fishes twice, cleansed the lepers, restored a withered hand, raised a widow's son from death, healed the woman with the issue of blood, walked on water, which I can't do, fed 4,000, then he fed 5,000, he healed the blind, raised Lazarus from the dead. These are the miracles that Jesus did, and we're supposed to be just like Jesus. And how many of these did you check off on your list? See what I'm saying? This is what we should be doing. We need to be doing what Philip did in Acts 8, 5 through 8. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and see, this is why they heeded what he said, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. And I'm saying, God, why aren't you bringing that back into the lighthouse? See, that whenever all the miracles were happening, people were coming in. You know, didn't have enough seats for them because they not only heard the teaching, but they saw the miracles happen. And verse 7 says, for unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. So why are not the demon-possessed screaming and carrying on and jumping out of people when we meet here? Come on, let's think, you know, think about this. The teaching is always so you can think. All right, so why aren't, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in the city. I want to say something here because people get the wrong, you know, God will anoint certain people and put them in, you know, out in the public to do, use them to do miracles. He just does it. He did that with me. You know, I was always going to church, but then he called me and just all of a sudden all kind of miracles were happening. You know, I didn't ask for it. I didn't pray for it. I didn't covet it. It just, and I didn't know what was going on. And the churches I were in, the pastors knew what was going on. And so they came against me and I was kicked out of churches. Now that happens. Catherine Kuhlman is an example. You know, and a lot of your other people who have passed away, God anointed them and set them in places. Now, that's when real miracles, you know, really start manifesting when God does that. But in this dispensation of time, God wants us all to be anointed in doing these great signs, wonders, and miracles. We have more people, and one person can't do it all. And so he's been telling us for years now. So he wants each one of you in here to be walking in this miracle-working power. if you look around at you, every one of you in here have a different set of friends. You meet different people. And so, see, each one of us should be carrying that anointing so that people are set free. You know, I, even in my own home, people are being, they get set free just because of the anointing that I carry. And so, you know, this, God wants each one of us in here to do that. Please don't think, it used to be preached that anybody could do it, and anybody can according to the word. But through my years, guys, I have found out that God will pick certain people and give them a powerful anointing and work through them. All right. And so don't beat yourself up. And God's calling us all now. This is the new dispensation of time. God's calling us all to walk in these miracles. Not everybody's going to do it. Why? Because you won't walk in holiness. It requires holiness to do, for God to use you to do these things. All right. Oh, where am I at here? Do you understand that? And all you have to do is get rid of your sin. And God will use you. He really will. I mean, when God called me, I was living with a man who didn't love me. I was raising children. I never once went out and caroused and didn't do any. I didn't do anything bad. I just didn't. So as I look back, I can see why God picked me to do that after I read everything that he does in the word and why he does it. And I was walking in holiness and I was living with a man who didn't love me, but nobody ever knew that. They thought we had a perfect marriage and we didn't have one. Yeah, there was no fussing, no carrying on, you know. And so I'm quite sure that's why God handpicked me. So what is your life like? You know, you have to stop and think about your life. What is in your life that's holding you back from being a carrier of miracles? What is it you're holding on to that you won't let go of? And God can't use you to do that. If he used you, but then it would just be like, well, he just wouldn't, because the devil uses people. The devil has people in churches who do miracles. He really does. God's been dealing with me about a certain individual, and you know, and the things he's shown me is really mind-boggling, but yet it's a truth, but it's just things I've never heard before, you know, seen before. And so, you know, but it's, I can see where how God is working the whole thing out. And in the end, the person will be everything God called them to be, but then you have to deal with the in-between stuff, you know. And God's just trying to get all the junk out. So then whenever he uses you for signs, wonders, and miracles, you won't be doing something stupid and people then won't believe in God. Why do you think that the devil churches are growing by leaps and bounds? And they're doing all kind of miracles in there, but it's all demonic things. If you really read and find it, they're all demonic. Acts 15:12 says, "Then all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul, declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles." So here Barnabas and Paul were telling how God used them to do miracles. So that's not trying to build yourself up when you talk about that. Paul and Barnabas told the people about the miracles to help the people understand and get right with God. And it said, "And after they had become silent, James answered and saying, Men and women, men and brethren, listen to me." Then he goes on, if you read that in Acts 15, it's talking about how God fell on the unsaved after they were saved and started using him in signs, wonders, and miracles. All right. All right. Jesus was a servant. Are you a servant? Remember, God told us we had to become servants. Are you a servant? Mark, sometimes I've been bad lately. I don't want to be a servant anymore. I'm being honest. You know, because I get tired. I just get tired of what people in the house of God do. And you know, and how they criticize and they're and condemn you, but they're not making any headway in their own lives, but yet they'll crucify you when you know you're doing everything that God's calling you for to do. You get tired of that after a while. And if you don't, pray God, thank God every day of your life that you don't do that, all right? Do you think Jesus got tired of that? Yes, he did. Why did he call them a brood of vipers, you hypocrites? He got tired of it. So you're going to get tired of some things too, but you have to keep on going. Jesus was a servant in Mark chapter 2, verse 16. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, "How is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners?" Tax collectors were really bad in those days. When Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician." The body of Christ, this church does not need, you know, to be taught about Jesus. But those who are sick, we should be out there in the street preaching to the world. "I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." See that he didn't come to go into the churches and teach them about salvation. They should already know that. He came to minister to the ones that weren't saved. That's what we should be doing, ministering to the ones that aren't saved. And God's trying to teach you how to do that. And John 13:5 says, "After that, Jesus poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded." Jesus became a servant to his disciples. We need to be spending more time in the presence of the Lord. We need to become a people moving like Jesus. The book of Acts came from a people who moved in the ways of Jesus. This is not a condemnation message. God's trying to teach us what he wants to use us to do. We should be. When I was first born again, I read the Bible. I just, everything Jesus said I could do, I did. I just went and did it. And, you know, people said I was crazy, but it worked because Jesus said I could do it. All right. In John 21:25, there are so many other things Jesus did. If they were all written down, each of them one by one, I can't imagine a world big enough to hold such a library of books. And so you see, if Jesus asked you to do something that you can't find in the Bible, John 21:25 says there are many other things that he did that are not written down in the Bible. And so if people come against you, they don't know that scripture. God has asked me over the years to do things that I never heard of, but I did it. And you know what? It worked. Whatever it was supposed to do, it worked. And so, but don't get out there on a limb somewhere. And please don't get your mind messed up. Get yourself solidified in Jesus. Then you won't do dumb things, is what I call them, dumb things, you know. And wouldn't you love to walk out that door and somebody be standing there, can't see, and just because you walk through the door, all of a sudden they could see? I walked in those type of miracles, guys. It's amazing. It's absolutely positively the best thing could ever happen to you. And, you know, God wants to use each one of you to do that. Why is he using me to teach you? Because I've been there. I've done that. And I know it works. And I know that if you get sin in your life, it quits working. Because it did quit working for me for a while. And it was because God said you went from the blessing to the curse. Because God told me to do something. I did my part, but the other person didn't. And I didn't make the other person carry their part through. And so that's when I started going from blessing to curse. And every day I felt the Holy Spirit weighing a little bit at a time until I didn't feel him in my home no more. All because I didn't make the other person do what God told him to do. But God now is, he's not mad at me no more. And he's restored a whole lot of things. And I know that we're all going to walk in great signs, wonders, and miracles. Amen. You know, if you're around the world very much at all, they curse like crazy. And if you curse and there's something not right with you. I said to somebody in my house the other day, I said, "When you talk to me, you don't curse. But when I walk in the door, all I hear is cursing. So don't tell me you can't talk without cursing, because you do it when you're around me. A curse word never enters your, but when I leave, it's every other word." You know what that word is, don't you? Every other word. So you're doing that because you want to. If you can hold it back in front of me, you can hold it back forever. All right? I don't know about you, but I don't want to have to back up to Jesus. I want to be able to walk forward face to face, knowing that I've done all that I could do when I was on this earth. How about you guys? All right. I'm hearing God say he wants to wipe the slate clean this morning. So if you came in here this morning doing dumb things, and God wants to take, he wants to wipe them off your slate right now. So if you want God to wipe your slate clean, the altar's open for that.